everybody. Welcome to another episode of And Just Like That. We are in season two, episode, is this four?
Yes.
This is terrible. Episode four, well, whatever episode, it's called Alive.
Yes.
Hi, Nana. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Another week, another episode. I'm not going to ask you what you thought about it because I know you're just not going to like it. But you can ask me what I thought about it.
What did you think about it?
It was a little all over the place, but there were there were things that I liked about it. But episode three still stands strong for me. But this was some, it wasn't too terrible, actually. Again, my only issue was this Miranda and Che storyline is going to be the death of me. Because I don't know where they're headed. So, yeah. Okay, as usual, we're just going to go over, share our thoughts. And whether you like it or not, I will share the official podcast thoughts if there's any insights that apply to this.
I was going to say, I saw someone on social media say this. I'm like, wow, this is so me. They're like, they hate And Just Like That. Every minute is on. But when it's done, they're like, oh, I want 40 more minutes of this. And I'm like, you know what? I get it. Because it's all, when I'm watching it, I'm just like, oh, this is so dumb. Oh, this is so dumb. That's all I'm thinking. But the when it's over, I'm just like, oh, I could have watched more. So I guess it's a true hate watch, isn't it?
It's grown on me. It's not terrible. So, yeah. We are revisited by, I think for me generally, I think two episodes ago I shared with you guys, you know, something they said on the podcast, and I'm trying to view it as a separate show from Sex and the City, but I'm failing because you can't say it's a separate show, but they keep bringing back this blast from the past and then the connection is still there. So just when I get used to the new characters and I'm like, okay, it's a standalone show on its own with just some of our faves who happen to be in this world, they bring back other things as the bridge and the connector, and then I'm discombobulated and I have to start all over again to fix my brain. So then I don't know where to fit the show in anyways. But this week again,
that's a good point, actually.
Yeah. They bring back Enid. So Enid, for you guys who remember, played by Candice Bergen, was Carrie's boss, kind of, when she was at Vogue. I didn't know she was her mentor, but okay. Did you know that?
No, it seemed like... No. I think that's actually correct. Because remember when the very first episode, when she joined Vogue, I think she kind of, she was excited because she saw her as a mentor, but they kind of let that storyline die.
Yeah.
I feel like they mentioned it, something like that, like in the original series. So I'll give them some grace with that.
I mean, I think it was more like Carrie looked up to her, and then when they actually met, Enid is not the nicest to her. And then most of their interactions, my first thing is not work-related. It's more Enid begging for a man or something man-related. Yeah. So mentor is definitely not the thing that comes to mind. And I thought
you're right, because Enid was nasty to her, like, during the show, actually. And she's still being nasty because she was trying to avoid her and pretend she couldn't see her.
Exactly. Like, my exact notes were like, she's always been jealous of Carrie. Yeah, remember, she tried to even steal the Russian. Like,
yes.
Him. So, no, mentor is definitely, it's one of those don't meet your heroes. I think they met, I think one time she tried to help her, like, with a job and be better and all that, and that was it. But I'm sorry, mentor is not, she's a frenemy. And
you're like, you're stretching it.
And also, Enid has just always been an unhappy character to me. Like,
yep.
She's just never joyful. I don't know if Carrie triggers her or something, but she's just not miserable. A joyful person. But yes, miserable is the word. And when she was telling Carrie about, you know, her days of Vogue, like, she was retired, not by her choice, and she's starting a new magazine called Vivant, which in the podcast, they try to tell us that's why this episode was called Alive. Vivant is alive in French, and they gave us the stat that they've never had a episode title with a punctuation mark except once, and I was like, who cares about all of this? But okay.
Isn't it? It's like, what?
I will say this, they're always so proud of themselves, and I also also would add this. I don't know if anyone listens to the podcast, to their podcast, if you share the same sentiment. Michael Patrick King is usually the only man that is there. And I feel he mansplains a lot. He always cuts off the women and always tries to explain what they were trying to say. But that's my impression. And I'm like, this is definitely someone who writes for Miranda. But I'm not sure. So if anyone else listens to that podcast, let me know if you have the same thoughts or if you share the same sentiments. Because that's the sentiment that I get every time I listen to them.
Are you surprised, though? Like, because we picked up on stuff. Do you know what I mean? We're just like, there's a man who doesn't really like women a lot sometimes with some of their choices. So I'm not actually surprised at all.
Man. So he actually had no hand in writing this. He only directed it. So I don't know. Maybe they should talk more about it. But anyways, as she was trying to tell Carrie about the new online magazine and she's doing like a fundraising thing, she makes a passing comment like, women our age. And then Carrie's like, that made me laugh a lot.
She Carrie's was disgusted.
Like, what? But it goes back to the same thing. I understand like she's not in the same demographic, but also Enid is just triggered by Carrie and was just trying to, I don't know, make herself. I honestly don't think she even thought about it. But it goes back to the same thing of, we talked some time ago when I said, like, my heart just sank because now everyone refers to me as ma'am when we go somewhere. And it's like, no matter how much you think you're young at heart or whatever, you can't change how people see you outside. And they just lump you in there. But clearly, there's an age, at least 20-year age difference between these two women. So saying women our age was very hilarious.
Carrie actually looked disgusted. Do you know the funny thing? I also feel like I'm part of the problem because I say when I was younger, I'm actually not young anymore, so I have no excuse. But you know when you think of old people as generically old people, in my head there was no difference between a 50-year-old and an 80-year-old. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, everyone's old. But obviously the closer you inch, the higher in age you get, you realize how ridiculous that is, isn't it? Because obviously you're still not going to be the same. And I was still a bit guilty of that, because even this episode when she said, like, us old people, and I was like, well, Carrie, you're not young. And then I was like, no, be serious. They are not the same age group at all. Ridiculous, but
We see LTW and Charlotte send their kids away to summer camp and everyone is free. The writers on the podcast said this is from their personal life. I don't think the writers on the podcast realize sometimes how they come off. I completely understand they live a completely different life, but they're like in the private schools and the money and all that. And I'm just listening to them like, this is not everybody's day-to-day life, guys. So because everything they write is from things that they experience. So they're talking about how free, and one of the writers was like how much she loves her husband more when her kids are away at summer camp, and she finds that she's nicer to people, she's more patient with people. So they wanted to put that in there. And also they wanted to explore the different sides of relationships of these couples. So they did the LTW and Charlotte. But while they were standing there sending their kids away, I had a moment, Nana. I was like, are LTW and Charlotte supposed to be age mates? Like, are we supposed to believe LTW is in her 50s like Charlotte?
I think they are supposed to be, right? Because I actually think, isn't their oldest child older than Lee? Or they look about the same age?
They look about the same. I don't even know how much Lily is supposed to be. How old Lily is supposed to be? 16?
Yeah. I'm guessing 16 or 16 Rock or 17. Like I think 17 is too, yeah. Oh, but you know, sorry, just Google. Nicole Marie Parker's 52.
Yeah.
So I guess they are age mates.
I mean, in real life, but I'm saying on the show.
No, I think they are supposed to be age mates on the show. Oh. Or? I think they are LTW supposed to be.
LTW could pass for a smooth 45.
Yeah. There's probably like a couple of years. She's probably only like 4 years younger than her, I'm guessing, in my head. Which, in my head, you're still age mates.
Mm-hmm. I think the Charlottes, SJP and all that, they're about 55, 56.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong, so all that. Okay, well, I guess they are supposed to be age mates, so...
She just looks way younger than her. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's why it occurred and all that. So, anyway, so it looks like they're setting us up for the rest of the storyline that's going to happen. We move over to the... I was about to say the Brady household. The Hobbs Brady household. And...
Brady.
We see Miranda on the couch. Backache. Very uncomfortable. And then we see Steve. Punching on the little punching bag, and he gave us a body yaddy yaddy.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. I literally wrote in my notes, Steve looks great.
Yep. So the backstory that we got on that is Michael Patrick King is saying that a lot of part of their job or what they have to do is to sift through the comments and see what to accept and what to reject. And a lot of the feedback was like they threw Steve to the side, made him seem like he was this bumbly old, deaf old guy who had nothing or whatever. And he was like, okay, we need to change that. That we're not going to make Steve to be like some side character and everything. And then he called the actor and said, I'm going to need you to get a punching bag, get in shape, because we are going to reintroduce you. And you, nobody puts Steve in the corner. And they're going to do that.
About time. I feel like all our complaints, right? Last season.
That's what he said, that those were the complaints. Yeah.
That we said it as well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
About time.
He took notes, he got in shape, and he was like, noted, I hear you. And that's how he got reintroduced. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate it. We noticed, and we appreciated. Because they really made our man look like he was some loser or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, what direction are we going here?
And then his accent also seemed off, but this one seemed more like the Steve we know, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, maybe everyone's gotten reacquainted and a bit more familiar with the role.
Yeah.
Because even Kristen Davis is better, like a lot better this season for me.
Yeah, she got her facial acting back. So.
And this Brady is annoying as fuck. Oh my God. Again, I feel like this is so your brand, your constant rant about TV children.
Yeah.
TV teenagers. This is your brand in my head. Every time I see an annoying teenager or child, I'm like, yeah, I know Taylor's going to have something to say about this. But he's so annoying.
They are. Because I was like, your mom sacrificed potentially a relationship, flew back, came back, and you're treating her like crap. Kids ain't shit.
Yep.
So,
and she's literally staying in the house with her estranged husband. Are they divorced yet or not?
No, they're not yet. They just need to be in the same space.
For him. They're doing it all for him, and all he does is whine. I don't know. I just feel like his whiny voice is annoying, but that's how some teenagers are. So I guess it's accurate.
So, going back to my initial rant where I'm like, is this show Sex in the City? And just like that, is it not? Because now, I don't know if you've noticed, I feel like they're trying to infuse more sex into the show. And we get a Charlotte and Harry sex scene. And she's like, do you want to come on my tits? The kids are not around. Okay. Not like they're in the room with you, even if they're around. But let's let it slide. And he thinks like he comes, but nothing comes out and it's a blank or something like that. So Charlotte is freaking out about that. And they're at lunch. It's her, Carrie, LTW? No, sorry, Miranda.
No.
Miranda and Anthony.
Yes.
All four of them that are having lunch. I would like to add that SJP probably had to eat a lot this episode. She was eating in almost every scene. So then Charlotte starts talking about everything and all that, and I had to pause because I know that I'm being hypocritical. I keep saying for Carrie that it's possible to change that much. For Miranda, you can't change that much. And now for Charlotte, I'm like, Charlotte would never be this open.
This is like blowing me because that was my main takeaway from this whole episode, because I'm like, who the hell is this Charlotte? Charlotte would never be talking about cum. Like,
Samantha.
Samantha, this is the same woman who walked out of brunch with her friends because Samantha wouldn't shut up about funky spunk. No one changes that much. I think that's like what I find hard to believe. Like, we didn't meet these women when they were in their 20s, bro. They were in their 40s when we left them. No one's going to change that much to suddenly be someone who's shouting, even with children present, about cum, dry cum. Like, it's not happening. Please be serious. And again, all goes back to them trying to fill the hole of Samantha. Which, you know, it's one of a kind. You can't do it. Just let sleeping dogs lie.
It is, but to you, Charlotte, that was very... And she was just going on and on about it, and they were trying to describe, and Miranda was all like, doesn't that sound like the dream without jizz? And then Harry was like,
Casper the something ghost, I forgot. And it was a funny line, it did make me laugh. Shit, I forgot.
Oh no, I'm so mad that I forgot the line. Casper the friendly cum? Yeah,
I can't remember what it was.
And the backstory to that is they did have that on the whiteboard for the original series. They just never had an episode where they could do it. And they were like, is this the time that we can? And they brought it back. And they were scared. I mean, the way they put it was like, Sarah Jessica Parker is classy and certain things, and that just annoyed me all over again. I'm like, why did you cast a classy person to be? I mean, she did justice to Carrie. I mean, she's synonymous with Carrie now, but that has always been a bone of contention for me. How do you cast a lead in a show called Sex in the City and you cast someone as modest? Come on.
Thank you. And then also another thing, I think Carrie even joined in a bit more about talking about cum. When I'm like, the original, Carrie would have just sat there, like, it's got nothing to do with me. I have no comment, like she usually does, you know?
So that's where I was leading with the story, was so they came up with all of this and they were not sure that Sarah Jessica Parker was going to go along with it because they said she's classy and she has a certain way that she thinks Carrie is and blah, blah, blah. So they were so thrilled when she said with her own volition over and over again, the jizz and the Casper the cum and all that. And I was like, I don't know if you guys don't realize that this is so ironic, but okay.
And it just strikes me as not being true to the character. That's it. It was her saying jizz over and over. I'm like, this is so un-Carrie-like. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. But I do have to admit where Miranda was like, isn't this the dream to do all that without having any jizz? But I'm with Charlotte. Like, it's like confetti in a parade. It's just like the grand finale. Like, So
that's just I can't imagine having sex with someone and there being like nothing coming out. I'd feel like, what the hell's going on here? It would bother me. Definitely bother me. Sorry.
I mean, they
even if there is technically nothing wrong. The most unprofessional doctor in the world, but anyway.
And he said something about it being retracted or going back to the kidney bladder. I don't know what it was, the scientific part. But the next part was very strange to me. All of a sudden, we start seeing Charlotte giving Harry lessons on building his pelvic floors. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not know that men had pelvic floors.
Yeah, they do. They do Kegels as well. I know Kegels in America. I feel like I've always said Kegels. Yes, they do also have a pelvic floor.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I was very intrigued by this scene because I'm like, is Charlotte supposed to be the comedic relief of the show? Because some of the things she does are almost like a caricature, like is it like a satire or something? I don't know. It just doesn't seem...
See, this storyline, right, just like remove Charlotte, isn't this a typical Samantha storyline? She would have been dating a guy, like everything, even down to like the training, all of that. So Samantha. But it's funny because even before I watched this episode, I was thinking, damn, they're not really giving Charlotte any solid storylines this season. At least like with last season, we had Rock, the whole non-binary storyline. And I was like, are they just really not going to give her a storyline? And so, like you said, I guess she's defaulted into being the comic relief. Because Miranda definitely doesn't have us laughing, nor does Carrie. So she's the last one standing. So I guess that's their plan going forward. Did they say anything about it on the podcast? Did they give any insight?
No, not really. Or I don't remember. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just, the whole scene, I was just like, were her hands really there on the actor's area? Yeah. Was his hands like, it was just, but I don't know. I didn't find anything funny about it, but good for them.
I'm and just it always, went on for way too long as well.
Way too long. But I think the thing that I like is the portrayal of a couple in their 50s and, you know, they have a good relationship and they're open about all these things. Like, it's just nice because Charlotte worked hard to find her husband.
Mm-hmm. And I love that they're still attracted to each other.
Still love each other. I'm happy for her. Yes. It's still exciting and all of that stuff.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
So we moved to Miranda and Che. I guess she's back in New York. And she's getting her apartment. And why is her ex-husband there? Her ex-husband was the... Not ex, I'm sorry. It's still her current husband. Her husband was the person who picked Miranda up in California. So I assume that he lives there? Why is he...
Yes, he does live there.
With her?
They said he lived there, yeah. I think he drove back. Didn't they say they drove back or something? Like, he drove her?
I thought he was referring to... He might have. I thought he was referring to when he picked Miranda up. Maybe. Mm. Why would she drive back instead of flying? I don't know.
I don't know. Nothing makes sense. By the way, did you mention? I don't know if we mentioned before that it's Oliver Hudson. Did we talk about that?
Oh, we did.
Oh, yeah. I'm really getting old. I feel like we spoke about this.
Because I was like, he's getting a piece of the end just like that pie. He's getting
yes. Okay, you did say that. I was like, did we mention it? I'm being very slow. But yeah, it just, that whole scene solidified to me that Che has always been selfish, because she sounded, when he was describing how they ended up getting married, I'm like, oh, so she's just always, sorry, they've just always been a selfish asshole. So this is just normal for them. This is why in Che's head, they probably think they're doing, like, they're really making an effort with their relationship with Miranda. Because it's less selfish than they were previously. So, yeah.
I just don't understand why they are not giving enough background as to why he's still lingering around Che's life. And if he's still lingering around, why did he never come up? It's just, I don't know, shoddy to me.
Definitely.
I'm sorry,
do you think this ain't, like, I know we're going to talk about the threesome scene. But this doesn't seem like it's the first time something has happened with them. So now I'm thinking they've probably been fucking just whenever it's convenient to them. It doesn't seem like it came out of nowhere to me.
It's possible. I mean, we might as well go into it then. So I guess Miranda and Che are fine. Last we saw, it was at the parking lot and there was an issue, but I guess it's all is well. With everything, no conversation, no nothing. Anyways, so Miranda and Carrie show up to the housewarming of sorts in there, and then they're all there and they can't separate or be apart from each other. They have to go into the room and be sexual with each other, I guess. Mm. I guess it's the newness of the relationship. At this point, how long have they been together? To be honest.
I don't even know. Because when it's been like a year, I'm thinking, you know, or maybe like 9 months, because didn't we find out that it's been a year since Big died when Carol was talking to Seema last episode? So I'm guessing it's been about a year.
Okay.
Blows my mind, but so, anyway.
They all end up on the bed and they're all talking and drinking, and then they're casually talking about their relationship, and is it Kyle or Lyle?
Lyle.
So Lyle mentions how Che is like, oh, like they have to try something. Like, he's so exciting. Like, she can't stay if it's not exciting. And then they were in a poly relationship. Miranda doesn't seem shocked by this.
Are you shocked?
I'm not shocked, but in terms of like, I didn't know if it was something she knew already or not. Because if she didn't know she was married, I knew if she knew that or something like that, she was still laughing. And this is where I'm like, I have no idea what they're doing with Miranda and Che. I can't say this enough. I don't know what the direction is. But in some way, I don't know how to say it, but I feel like Che is manipulating Miranda. Or is Miranda finding herself? I don't know which is which, because of course that conversation about keeping things exciting is going to be playing in her head. And Miranda is acting like she can't live without Che. And what I mean is that just diving into the threesome, Carrie leaves, and then Lila's on the bed. He's passed out because he's been drinking too much. So they all three pile up on the bed and are sleeping together. Che and Miranda start getting handsy and all that stuff. And then Lila wakes up and then suddenly, like Nana says, just comfortably slides in behind Che. I cannot tell you that. I don't know what this love scene was, because Che was aggressively humping who? I don't know. Someone else was.
And then Miranda climbs on top of both of them.
Aggressively back. And I didn't know what was happening on there. And then they feel so proud of themselves that Che stopped and says, "Is this okay?" But then Miranda's like, "Well, I have to think about it, because on one hand it's hot, but on the other, I wouldn't know if I liked it or if I don't. And that's where I'm like,
it's 100% manipulative. Because you're springing, who does that? Like a surprise threesome on your girlfriend who is very new to this way of life. And she already feels like she's not cool enough for you. That's always been your dynamic from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're playing off that by mentioning that. That's also Che's a terrible person. They know exactly what they're doing. Of course it was manipulative. It was planting seeds that you're not like, if you want to keep up, do you know what I mean? It's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm actually really proud of Miranda removing herself from the situation, because she could easily have gone along with it, you know, even if she had a cramp or whatever. And I guess we're supposed to see it as a good thing that Che went, like, stopped afterwards. But yeah, I don't like this character, and I think they're a terrible person. But yeah.
Okay, so to set it up, they were still doing whatever they were doing, and then Miranda just kind of like, ow, 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 and she got a Charlie horse, and she's like, you know what, I don't think I can continue with this, you guys go ahead, and then she goes over to the couch. Now, it could be, both could be true, one could be the other, her body could have been speaking for her mind, but clearly she wasn't comfortable with it, because the one thing to realize is, like, this is not a random person. This is Che's current husband. Like, you can't compete with history. And let's not also forget that Che is Miranda's first same-sex relationship. There's a whole dynamic that comes with all of that. And like Nana said, she's trying to figure herself out and figure all that or whatever. And then she goes to the living room and stays on the couch. And I was pretty upset with her by saying, like, no, you guys continue. Stop giving her this much power. You have a say in your relationship. I mean, sorry, stop giving them that much power. You have a say in your relationship.
That's what we're saying, the manipulation comes in. Because Miranda has no power in this relationship. Che holds all the power, you know? Which is why I was really proud of Miranda last episode for actually leaving and going to check on her son. Because everything has been her following Che around across the country, her worrying that she's not cool enough for Che, her worrying that she's fucking up her TV show. You know what I mean? Che holds all the power in that relationship. Miranda has none, which is why we're finding it so hard to watch, because that's not the Miranda we know. So we're just like, what the fuck is going on? Even Carrie said to her, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this who you are now? When she was literally trying to fuck Che while Carrie was, like, mourning and had surgery after the death of her husband, you know? Like, who is this person? It's crazy to me. Did the podcast say anything about it or no?
They did, but it's all a blur right now that I can't even.
I just hate it. I don't think anybody likes Che's storyline, even going by social media. So I don't know why, if they can listen to us about Steve and anything else, they need to listen. Sarah Ramirez does not need to be a season regular on the show. I don't care what contracts they're signing. It's just not working. Please, Miranda deserves better. And it's making me really sad what they're doing, because they're ruining the character for me. But
It's the way they keep leaning heavy into Che. I'm just like, nobody asked for this and all that. Che stops and goes to Miranda, and she was like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, I was serious about that. And she's like, no, if you're not. So, yay, I guess we're supposed to give brownie points to Che. But you were not supposed to ask her in the first place, not at least not in that way. Anyways, we didn't talk a little bit about, they went into family therapy. And that was very strange because, again, it was very uncharacteristic of Miranda not to want to talk about anything.
I think she's still on eggshells around Steve because she feels like she's done him dirty. And that Steve so readily didn't have an issue with Brady not going to college. She already feels ostracized, like she's on the outside because she's the one that left Steve on the outside of her family. So she feels that she can't open up because it'll put her further on the outside. That's what I took from it. That's why she didn't.
But even before he said he wasn't going to college, it was talking about their breakup. Like, I just think that's that needs to be processed. She's already on the outside. You might as well just talk about it. And
she feels guilty. So she ain't there yet. She ain't there. Okay. I think she should too, but I'm just saying that I think that's why. Can we talk
LTW and her husband are having an anniversary party, and we knew it was a setup from the minute he said he was going to send out the invitations to clear things off her plate. And from the minute we went, and Charlotte and Harry were the first to show up, and people were trickling in. She was inviting random people afterwards, and those were the ones that showed up with her dad, played by the fantastic Ozzie Davis. And her mother
wasn't Ozzie Davis, it was Billy Dee Williams.
Sorry, Billy Dee Williams. Sorry, I just read an article about Ozzie Davis.
So. Do you know what? It's another standable mistake. He still looks so good. I was so happy to see him. And I was like, what fantastic casting as LTW's dad. Because in my head, a woman like LTW, that's exactly what her dad looks like to me.
Yeah.
I was like, great casting.
They said they didn't want to mention the mom, that they're saving that for later. And I was like,
ooh. Okay, bets on who? I'm guessing Felicia Rashad. Who do you think?
I don't know why the first person that came to mind was Patti LaBelle, but I know it's wrong. I know completely it's wrong, but they did say that her family is Bohemian.
Okay. I'm going for either Felicia Rashad or maybe Lynn Whitfield. Those are the two I have in my head.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see more.
So eventually it comes out. It looks like he forgot to send out the invitations, and there's this long, large table of people, and her mother-in-law decides to sit at the other end, and nothing's happening. So I think, again, they said they were just trying to show different sides to relationships, and they were trying to show the dynamic of their relationships, and I do like that LTW just wasn't like stark raving mad at him.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to talk a bit more about this because I was always like, why don't these people stand up for their spouses more? Because these aren't new marriages, right? Or isn't a new marriage. Because as much as I was happy to see Billy Dee Williams, he was also throwing constant shots at her husband. And her mom, we already been established, been a complete bitch to her. And I'm sure she was a bitch to her before they got married, after they got married. And I'm just like, someone has to put their foot down here. And I feel like there was a lot of half-hearted defense. But with people like that, it has to be full-throated defense. Like, you do not ever talk shit about my wife in front of me. Or you don't talk shit about my husband. Whatever opinions you have, keep them to yourself. Unless you think I'm in danger. Do you know what I mean? Or I'm being abused, keep that shit to yourself. And I feel like with people like that, if you don't be that strict in your boundary, they will always push, and have their little snide comments. And then before long, I'm not going to be inviting you to shit. And you wonder why you don't see your grandchildren. So, I don't know. I don't like it when people let other people, like, abuse their spouse. I feel like it's so wrong. Because that should be your number one priority, because that's your family now. You know? It just really irritated me, I can't lie.
Yeah, it is. But I think that's the narrative they're leaning heavy into because honestly, if they didn't say it, I didn't quite get that LTW's family was Bohemian. And then what is her husband's name again?
Do you know what? I really can't remember.
Herbert?
Chris Jackson? German? I think it is Herbert. I think it's Herbert.
Or something. And their family is more uppity, society, and all that kind of stuff.
Because they're artists, right? Her family. Yeah. And that's why her dad kept saying he's a slave to capitalism, blah, blah, blah. Even though I'm sure they're rich as fuck as well, themselves. Just a different kind of rich.
So, so just addressing them. And then earlier, her husband had told her that he was not going to run for city comptroller anymore because it was just going to be stress. But she threw that out there, that he's running for it just to prove her dad wrong. And I'm like, this is a big mistake. Huge, huge, big mistake. But that's how we find
someone
out.
Who's barely holding on in his life. I've never seen two more stressed people in my life. Why would you add this to them? I will say, I really hope it doesn't cause huge marriage problems for the both of them, because I actually like them together. They seem like they actually like each other as people. And it's, I don't always need stress and drama. Just like I enjoy watching Charlotte and Harry. I like watching relationships where both parties clearly like each other and there's not that much drama in their actual relationship. Rather, it's external circumstances, you know?
And they talked about that. They said they didn't want to make them, like, they've seen them bicker, but they didn't want to make them, like, that family that was always bickering, arguing, and all that stuff. So that was a conscious decision.
Yeah. I will say, oh, no, go ahead.
We are graced with the presence of Victor Gaber.
Gaber?
Is Gaber or Garber? I don't know if there's an R.
I've always said Garber.
If there's an R, then it's Garber.
Yeah, Victor there is Garber, an R.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He's on there. And he offers Charlotte a job. And I think they've mentioned in the past that they're going to be exploring what Charlotte's life is, because she's devoted all of it to her family. And now that she's getting older, is she going to want to find herself again and all that kind of stuff? She turns down the job and is like, her children need her more than ever now. I'm like, why? They're older. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't.
And I'm sorry. I feel like these children are so ungrateful to begin with. And sometimes I feel like you're doing them a disservice by, because they know you're always going to be there. You've dedicated everything to them. The same way Brady being bratty because his mom drops everything. Sometimes it's okay. Like, yeah, I'm busy too. I also have a life. So that way they can appreciate just what you do for them. And I'm really happy that she's getting a chance. Hopefully, I'm guessing the storyline will come back around and she will end up back in the art world. But we've always seen Charlotte as being so good at her job. And I'm sad that she hasn't been able to juggle that and motherhood. So I'm really hoping she does get to go back, because I like seeing them competent as well, like being good at their jobs. I think it's an aspect we need. So I did like that scene. And it was nice to see him, alias Hive, arise. But yeah.
The only reason we see him where he asks about his children, Michael Patrick King says that he kept asking, these kids are in summer camp. Don't we have to have a scene of them calling to say, I want to come home, or I need this, I need that? And he was like, the two parents in the writer's room were like, no. And he was like, really? Like, he just kept thinking that, and they were like, no. So the compromise, I guess, was him saying like, oh, she's texting me and all that kind of stuff. He's like, no, it's just a time where it's about you and the kids are out the picture. Like, don't bring the stress of kids into that.
I like that Charlotte being so straight, like they can sense weakness, because it's so true. Kids can sense weakness. If you're too available, they'll literally harass you. I'm laughing because my younger siblings, anytime I remember when I used to come to America for the summer, and my mom, she's like, I guarantee you, as soon as we leave the house, 4 minutes later, I'm gonna get a call from one of your two younger siblings. Mom, where are you? How long are you going to be? When are you coming back? Meanwhile, when I'm there, no one's chatting to me. I'll just be like, oh, can we do this? Can we eat that? It's just because you're not there, they want to bother you. So she literally just would never answer anyone's calls. And I'm like, what if they're dying and they need you? She's like, well, they should call 911. I was like, wow. But kids are like that. If you give them too much, they will take a mile. They really, really will. So I like that scene. It made me laugh.
So to wrap things up, we have Enid's fundraiser, party, launch. I don't know what that was, but they have Gloria Steinem on there.
Enid's Shakedown is what it was.
Gloria Steinem apparently just freestyled her speech. They told her to just be who she is and talk about the things that she talks about in her real life.
Don't you think she looked great? She's 89, Tane.
Oh, she looks good.
Yeah, I was like, damn, Gloria Steinem is still around. So I went to Google her age. She's 89. I'm like, wow, she looks phenomenal. But anyway, please continue.
So we see that Bitsy is still around, and through the episode, Carrie has been getting this weird text message from some guy in a yellow sweater, and we're talking about like an old guy, but I guess it's the way Carrie sees herself, because it's so funny. I think as we approach a certain age, I have friends who are like, I'm like, would you ever date a guy who's like, what's the oldest you go? Oh, I wouldn't go this. And I was like, you realize that how old we are, right? Like, yeah. You know, it, then it's a second, and it's like, oh. We are in that age, and I think that's what's wrong with Carrie. Carrie's like, why would I date someone that's that old? Sweetie, you're 55 or 56.
Thank you. That's what I said. I was really happy she eventually acknowledged her ageism, because I think that ties into what we were talking about earlier. We all think we're younger in our head than we actually are.
So Bitsy says that it was her, that she was so touched by that last thing, and she just feels like she should enjoy this, that he's a tripod, his dick is so large, and he could never satisfy her like Bobby. And then Carrie is, you know, with her chest, she's like, oh, I always thought Bobby was gay. And Bitsy's like, oh, yes, he was. That's why he tried so hard. And that took me to the ground. I was like,
that cracked me up too. And I love that Carrie's grown enough that she straight up asked her. Because remember that whole episode when everyone was terrified of actually coming out to say it? She just straight up was like, yeah, I thought it was gay. Yeah, I love that scene as well. And also, it's kind of testament to unconventional relationships, right? Because clearly her and Bobby had a lot of love for each other. Deeply. So. And they had children, right? Or a child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, during the IVF with Charlotte.
Yes.
So during the meeting, and Bitsy's sending her dick pics of the guy, and Carrie's just like, oh my God, what is this woman doing? And then Bitsy's winking at her and all that. We already saw that Enid does not care for Bitsy. She said Bitsy was here just for her deep pockets and stuff like that. So they were there, and she was, honestly, Carrie's there because Seymour told her that she had to be there, you know, to get her to talk about her book and promote her book. But she eventually finds out that Enid invited her because of her deep pockets, too. Because if you recently lost a husband, you must be recently endowed with money. And I'm like, this woman hates you. Like, cut her off your life and all that stuff. So
I always forget how rich Big was, right?
Yeah. So she sees the picture of the dick pic. And then Enid is like, are you seeing my boyfriend? It's just like, what? Somebody sent this to me. She's like, that's a picture of his pecker. Like, if you weren't dating him, why do you have a picture of his pecker? Like, this is such an awkward scene. I don't know what to do with this.
And also, sorry, I wanted to ask you, I feel like this isn't the first time, but these women are so comfortable with passing around men between them. Because even Bitsy casually mentioned she used to fuck this man too. Do you know what I mean? As like, I'm passing him along to you. And I'm just like, in what world? Not in me and my friends. Hell no.
I think that white people are more comfortable with that. Because I feel like I see that on like reality shows and stuff. Like, you watch a reality show and almost everyone has slept with it, and they say it so casually.
Oh, okay.
So I think...
White people who are listening, let us know. If it's more normal amongst your friend groups. So like, if you slept with someone, if you're fine with your friends sleeping with them too, just let us know, because it's not normal in mine.
The only fun fact story about this is that they said Sarah Jessica Parker was so terrified of Gloria Steinem seeing the dick pic pictures, which they said was more difficult to find. They had to find one that was like a tripod but also had grays and all that kind of stuff than booking Gloria Steinem. And then Sarah Jessica Parker was so terrified that she was gonna see the pic and then just think like their show is like the pits. I was like, why are you this self-conscious? Actually, I was just annoyed by it all. I'm just like,
and do you think she doesn't know what kind of show Sex and the City is?
Exactly. And, like, and just like that is a derivative of Sex and the City. So, like, okay. So eventually she saw it, but then she saw it, and then she, I forget the joke she cracked. I'm like, she's an 89-year-old woman. You think she hasn't seen the, I don't know. I was just annoyed by that. It wasn't as cute as they thought it was. Like, they were like, they fell more in love with her because she said the jizz jokes. I'm like, again, Sex and the City. So please.
Thank you. I will say I've enjoyed Bitsy a lot more than Enid. Like, of them dragging all the people back from the past, at least Bitsy has, like, energy, you know? She livens up every scene for me.
I honestly think it's easy because Enid is not a likable character.
Yeah.
And we've only seen her once. So there's no layup and she's just a drag. Yeah. Which is why I was annoyed that Carrie gave in to her and just said, oh, how much? Or where's the PayPal? And then just like that, we became PayPal friends. I was like, don't give her your money. Walk out that hoe.
$100,000. I'm like, damn, you're just throwing away money like that? Must be nice. $100,000, Carrie Bradshaw? Okay. My, how things have changed. She better have paid Charlotte back her $30,000. But anyway.
I was about to say that. I wasn't about to say that. I was like, give that money to Lily for the thing she was looking for. But yeah, so that was the episode for me. I don't know if you have anything else to add. It was okay, nothing terrible, but the best, just like the original, is when it's centered around the friends, like last episodes, which is where it's more enjoyable. But overall, it's okay. I'm warming up. If we get rid of Che and maybe Miranda decides that, like, in the beginning, that she wanted to do something with her life and was going to classes for that, maybe. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. I'm still, I didn't love it, but I will say I enjoy talking about them with you. So I guess that's a positive. And I feel like every time we break things down, it makes me like the episode a bit more, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the positive. But yeah, I'm so interested, like, to see what's going to happen. It's not like I detest it, but yeah. I just feel the same way as I do. But yeah, I enjoyed discussing it with you, though. Our beloved Sex and the City. Aww. But yes, did you have anything else to add? You're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Can you tell the people where they can find us, please?
Yeah, you can find us at the Rewatch Times 2, therewatchx2, a Twitter, an Instagram, and you can send us an email with @gmail.com.
And please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, particularly on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.